It is Thursday, May 17th, 2022, and I call this meeting of the House House File 3872 Conference Committee to order. Members, we have reviewed the provisions of the bill last Wednesday, and we heard public testimony on this bill on Thursday. Today, we wanted to give the opportunity for our members to share their key priorities in the bill and give us a chance to continue discussion on the provisions in the House and the Senate versions. If it's all right with Chair Tomasoni and Vice Chair Rarick, I'll start with the House members and give them a chance to share, followed by the Senate members, and we can wrap up with general discussion before the adjournment. Does that sound okay with the two of you?
I believe Senator Rarick is giving the thumbs up.
Okay. Thank you. Great. So with that, we will start with our members, and I will go around based on who I see up here in my my video. So I will start with Representative Cleavorn.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I would like to say thank you to all the conferees. And while we may have conflicting priorities, I'm confident we'll reach a good resolution. My priorities are for student supports, to make sure that we have a public system that is inclusive for all students, and to make sure that we consider the health and safety of all of our students. Thank you, Chair Bernardi.
Thank you. Representative Keeler.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. It's fun to be back here in this space, really honing in on what we feel is important for students. I'm going to go into a couple specifics and why they're important to me. I think that for me, I really like the idea of expanding what higher education possibilities look like. We can always continue to fund the things that we've always done, and that's great. I like to think of new innovative ways on how we can reach students who maybe have never had the opportunity to explore or attend any of our higher education institutions. And so my number one priority, probably to nobody's surprise here, is operating expenses for our tribal schools. We have three tribal schools who could really use the state support. It's at a small, you know, percent of what we give our other state institutions. And we know that close to 70% of those graduates coming out of our tribal colleges actually filter into our state schools. And so to me, when we think about expanding opportunities for Minnesotans, that is one of the top ways that we can do that. I also am a huge advocate for our teachers of color and American Indian teachers in classrooms. I've said it over and over as an Indigenous student. I've never seen a teacher who looks like me at the front of the classroom. And that's more than just physical representation. It's about what we talk about in curriculum. It's about how we respond to things in society. And I think that those things really matter, not only to students who looked like me, but students across the state can really benefit from a diversity in our teaching. Also, mental health, we've heard it over and over and over, not only in this committee, but also as I've served in other committees. Supporting our youth with their mental health right now, especially coming out of this pandemic, is going to be really, really important. I think that we have to holistically care about our students. It's one thing just to invite them to the front door of a university. It's another thing to actively care about them. And I think when we invest in mental health supports, we're investing in the holistic care of our students, which likely increases the retention and graduation rates of our professionals. And lastly, the free college opportunity for students. I know from the work that I've done in Indian education and in admissions, students who just can't afford school really struggle with finding a path in their life. And I love the opportunity for our students to have a chance to go to community colleges. This is a greater Minnesota move, and I love that, being from greater Minnesota. Often I feel like maybe we're a little bit overlooked, but having opportunity for our students to attend schools in our communities at a reduced cost, I think will open up the doors for many. So those are my priorities. I think that it's probably pretty clear if you've listened to any of our conversations in committee that those are the things that I'm really dedicated to. And I thank all of you for the behind the scenes conversations to learn more about all of these areas. Particularly, I want to shout out Representative O'Neill for learning about the importance of our tribal colleges and investing in those relationships, as long as everybody else on this team. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Representative Christensen, Vice Chair Christensen.
Thank you, Chair Vernardi, and thanks to all of you. I also want to say thanks to everyone involved here, including the people behind the scenes, you know, for what we're doing and hoping to accomplish. I agree with, I look at this whole picture as widening the tent for more and more students to be able to attend college or career schools, career technical schools. So I do believe that the free college aspect that we have in here is, you know, will serve that purpose for sure, for all people of color, for those, you know, people of less means than most. So I also strongly support Representative Cleavorn's inclusive education. That's also part of that tent that I'm talking about. Also, I would like to mention Representative Keeler's tribal supports for tribal colleges. It's something that we haven't done much in the past, and I think it's due. We're due for that. And I also, I've been an advocate always of supporting mental health of students, of, you know, students in Minnesota, especially, you know, especially in regard to our colleges and everything, because there's the problems that we're seeing out there, I see every day, are frightening. And so I hope that we don't forget that when we, you know, when we have our discussions here about what we should include in this bill. That being said, that's about it. I'm sure I'll have more to say later, but I'd love to hear what everyone else has going. Thanks much.
Thank you very much. Representative O'Neill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So in no particular order, I wanted to also support Representative Keeler's support for the tribal colleges. And I, you know, I may be biased because I grew up in Bagley, which is in kind of in the middle of the three reservations, and have so many classmates and so many people that I know and love and care about that are Native. And I'm just, it is a little bit unsettling to me that we haven't supported the tribal colleges since 1985. Not sure what happened in 1985 or thereafter, but it's something that I feel that we really should do. You know, like I said on the House floor, we need each and every one of them to be successful, to be supported, and to be in the workforce. We can't afford to lose a single one. And that is really, I believe, how we help them move from the position that they are. And, you know, since I was a small child growing up in Clearwater County, Minoman County and Clearwater County were either the first or the second poorest counties in the state of Minnesota. And there's a reason for that. And White Earth Reservation is in Minoman County. And what's even more poor than that is probably Red Lake. It's just really been devastated for years. And so that's one of my supports. The other thing I'd really like to see is the 25 to 30 million to support Minn State's O&M so that we can ask them to not raise tuition. Tuition is on the rise again. The University of Minnesota will be raising their tuition by 3.5%. That's the current discussions. That's just abhorrent in this day and age of hyperinflation, a war in Ukraine. It's so difficult to buy gas. The gas prices are over $4. You know, in 2020, when this pandemic really got roaring, it was $1.60, $1.70. So, you know, students are getting pinched on every side. The last thing they need is a tuition increase. So I'd like to see support for O&M so that we can do a tuition freeze at Minn State. The other thing I'd really like to see, if we can afford it, I have no idea what our target would be, but whether we do a 1% or a 2% reduction in the student responsibility or the student grant program, I think that's some money well worth spent because that helps everyone that gets a grant. It will help all of the students, which I think is really important to support students. You know, all of us go to the grocery store, we all buy gas, and it is so expensive right now. It's just unbelievably expensive. So that I think would be incredibly helpful. I know we have a $5 million surplus in the Minnesota State Grant Program right now. So I believe that in this biennium, it wouldn't cost a ton. It would be more in the tails, and we can certainly have that conversation. But again, money well worth the dollars. And the last thing I'm going to say is, you know, I can kind of see on Senator Rarick's screen, he's got a couple folks that have been dramatically and negatively affected by the decisions by the Board of Regents at the University of Minnesota. And, you know, just to say hi to them real quick, we've got some great athletes back there. And I think there, I saw a faculty member that also is a coach. I think that was what I saw back there. But in any case, I think that we need to address what's happening at the University of Minnesota. There are so, there he is, hello. So there's so much going on at the University of Minnesota that just is going in the wrong direction. If we care about students, if we care about staff and faculty, they are going down a path that is not helpful to any of them. So I'm sure Senator Rarick will talk about the three men's sports programs that were cut, the 41 women's sports positions that were cut. And I just read an article that said then they increased their positions on the football team. So I don't know much about that. Maybe Senator Rarick will talk about that. But, you know, we've lost some amazing students at the University of Minnesota. I've had an opportunity to meet some of them. And we're going to be losing the next group of students that would come for tennis, track, and gymnastics. And so that is just a travesty that that's happening. And what's more of a travesty to me is that their voices were not heard. And I think we did a bang up job at the legislature, the Senate did a better job of giving them a voice, letting them actually plead their case and talk about the impact. And we're just beginning to talk about it in the House. But I think that's, if we're gonna talk about the U, we have to talk about the direction that the regents are taking, the power and authority we have as a legislature with the purse strings and the regent elections. Those are the two that's the two triggers that we have. Those are the two strings that we have. So we need to pull the strings and be that voice for the students, the staff, and the faculty, because I just feel like their voices are not being heard. And they're, quite frankly, they're being voted down. There was just a vote to even consider having a commission to look at the totality of what happened with the sports programs. And it was just voted down by the regent board. There were three yeses and nine no's. So again, the students, staff, and faculty are not being listened to. So those are my priorities. And there's some other things that would be, you know, interesting to do, but those are some of my top things. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. And I will share my priorities in this bill. When we have a unique opportunity to here to really invest in Minnesota and in our Minnesota students, and creating opportunities and opening doors for them is the best thing we can do, not only for them and their families, but like I said, for the state of Minnesota. And with coming through COVID and still coming through COVID and how difficult it has been and the challenges facing and all the challenges we are facing in Minnesota and as a nation and actually as a world, I think it's important that we create affordable options for people to go to college and open those doors. And our two-year free college program will help students be able to set on a journey to earn their credentials and to live their American dream. And so we're not only reducing college costs, we're eliminating the college costs for students. Our proposal is 17,000 students, I believe the last number is. It's for students' families that make under $125,000. For students that families make under $75,000, their two-year education, tuition, and fees would be fully covered. And then it goes graduated scale down to $125,000. And at that point, it would be a 50% investment. And we do need workers now, and we need to get people back on the on-ramp and into college and learning a trade and really helping families and students and Minnesota's economy. So I think that is an excellent investment to do. And then the other area in the other areas is are in the equity areas. We have a lot of provisions in our bill that will help American Indian students, tribal colleges, parents, and making college inclusive for people with intellectual disabilities. And we need everyone to have the opportunity in Minnesota. And these are provisions that will help support our students and help them earn their credentials. And those are the provisions that I'm gonna be looking closely at, are those provisions in affordability and equity. So with that, that is in the House members. And now I would like to turn to the Senate members. And how would you like to go about this, Senator Rarick and Senator Tomassoni?
Thank you, Chair Bernardi. I just received a message from Chair Tomassoni. I think he's going to, so his priorities are the same as mine. So we'll maybe combine ours and then can go to the other members. So I do want to say, you know, our top priority was around the workforce development scholarships and expanding that to law enforcement and construction. Those are two areas of need that we really see. I know Senator Tomassoni also really believes in the NRRI and the investment there. So definitely support that. And just student support. I think this is a year to really focus on student support more than the institution support. You know, our students are facing some economic struggles. And so if we can help them, that would be great. And there's not a lot else I need to say. Representative O'Neill covered a lot, but I do want to introduce a couple of folks to the committee. Sitting right behind me is Mark Fu. He is a gymnast. He just competed in the nationals, did incredibly well, fourth place overall, second in vault. So very, you know, an aspiring gymnast here from Minnesota. His went to the university for all kinds of training camps. It was his dream to be a Gopher. And he is heading to William and Mary this fall because the program no longer exists. And he is one of the gymnasts that I met that really, you know, is what got me behind this whole movement of trying to convince the university to create this commission to look at sports programs. And also in the background, you can see Coach Mike Burns, the coach for the gymnastics program at the university. It is so important that the university starts to listen. I mentioned it before as well. You know, Representative Schultz has the proposal to change the Board of Regents makeup because faculty, students, and staff all feel that they are not being given a voice at the University of Minnesota. They are not being listened to. And that, you know, I think we all see that as our role. We have to listen to our constituents. We have to listen to the people of Minnesota. And the Board of Regents should be doing the same. And if just everything we hear, they are not. And it was incredibly disappointing. I know a lot of people don't like my provision in the bill tying money to this commission, but it was just brought up Friday at the Board of Regents. It seemed to me that the discussion on the Senate floor was loud and clear that the legislature really believes the university has dropped the ball and they should do this. And it was a vote of 9-3 to reject it. And a couple of the comments that were made were very, very disappointing from the Board of Regents. So it is, I think we have work to do to continue to send that message to the U that it's time to listen. Not only to the legislature, but to the people of Minnesota, and look at what you can do to better represent, listen to your staff, faculty, students, and your student athletes. So thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Rarick and Senator Thomas, Chair Tomassoni. Next, we will go to Representative Housley. Excuse me, Senator Housley. Excuse me.
That's okay. Thank you so much, Chair Bernardi. And as you said, to our workforce development, we are so in need of increasing our workforce. So I think anything that's in the bill, from the workforce development scholarships to the youth skills path program to help guide school students into the skilled trades, I think are very, very important to the state. And then also supporting those law enforcement grants and the construction would be hugely helpful to increase the workforce. And then, like Representative O'Neill and Senator Rarick said, our University of Minnesota athletics, it's extremely embarrassing and disappointing what has been going on over there. So those are my top four priorities in the bill. So thank you.
Thank you. Now we will move to Senator Claussen.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. I think our committee has a unique opportunity to invest in Minnesota's future by investing in people and their education. So I think this is really a critical time since we do have, I think, the revenue to do that. And I would start out with what I call the big three. That's investing in the Minnesota student grant, reducing the student responsibility would be a priority. Investing in the University of Minnesota, number two. Number three is Minnesota State System, investing in that system as well. And I'm also going to include the tribal colleges in that mix. I think student support is extremely important. Some of those initiatives with health, safety, food security, mental health, those are things we need to invest in. The Teachers of Color Scholarship Program is another area that I think we should invest in so that we have teachers in the classroom that represent the students in our state. And then I'd also look at selective workforce development initiatives that we've talked about in the Senate. And those would be my priorities.
Thank you. And now Senator Jasinski.
Thank you, Chair Bernardi and Senator Tomasoni for including some of the things in my bill. Again, they've been mentioned, but the public safety, the workforce scholarship grants. I know Senator Paul Anderson was involved in those several years back as a pilot. Those have been very successful. My bill this year puts that money towards law enforcement. As you well know, we're down five to 600 officers in the metro. So our recruitment and retaining law enforcement personnel is very, very important. So I think that's a great program to get law enforcement involved and into the education system. So I would strongly recommend supporting that. Secondly, I have the OTANA Learn to Earn program, which is a new program. If you were at the committee hearing on it, is a very, very important program in OTANA as a pilot project to do the Learn to Earn program. Recently, the OTANA High School has been a new construction. And recently, with all the involvement in businesses around there, Federated Insurance has contributed $20 million to that high school to build that. And what we'd like to do is introduce workforce development in that. So the Learn to Earn program brings equipment into the high school and also to Riverland Technical College in that community, which is struggling to get the workforce they need to supply people to the workforce, the jobs that are available there. They need to continue to work on getting a better workforce and training them well. So that's a very, very important program to OTANA. I know Senator Claussen has gotten behind that as well, thinks it's a great program to try. So hopefully that can be very successful. And then lastly, just a comment on myself. So I went to the University of Minnesota for 2 years, could not afford it any longer, and went into the military, went into the Navy. And I think that is something that's overlooked. I joined the Navy for 4 years, finished the entire rest of my college career paid for. Mental health, I'll tell you what, great for mental health to be in the Navy. I had no food insecurities. This is something that people need to think about. Military will pay for your college. It's a great leadership program. It's something that really, really can affect people. I was at a point in my life where, you know, things weren't going the best. And by joining the military, it completely turned around my whole outlook on life. And that's something that's a little bit overlooked these days. So if people are struggling to pay, make college payments or need more, look at the military. It's something that can very, very much help you. in leadership, in, you know, developing your skills and all those things. So it's something that we overlook a little bit. But, and then lastly, I want to touch about the University of Minnesota and the athletics. I'm disappointed as well as Senator Rarick and the rest of the people here concerned about what's going on at the University of Minnesota to stop those programs. So those are my big three going through the rest of this committee. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Senator, and for your service and anyone else who is on this call or tour that are currently serving or are veterans. So we thank you for your service. Now, I want to comment if there's anything that you missed when you talk. Sometimes after you share something, you're like, oh, darn, I forgot to say this. And so I just want to make sure you have the opportunity to do that. I just want to say when I talked about the equity provisions, I also wanted to mention about the support to students in whether it's meeting their basic needs or mental health, and also making sure that we have the programs in place at our colleges and universities so that we don't lose those opportunities for students. So I think those are important too. Is there anything else anyone wanted to add that they may have missed? Okay, so Representative Christensen, Vice Chair Christensen, go ahead.
Hi, sorry, I was waving with my screen off. So, well, you know, I think I'm going to include here my thoughts. I kind of prepared some words, my thoughts about the sports program at the University of Minnesota and some of the changes that have made. And I too have some disappointments. You know, I think as I've learned in the legislature that issues are never simple and they're very complex. And I've looked deeply into this, including looking into the Constitution and the autonomy at the university, et cetera. I've received many, many, my husband and I are very involved in the coaching world, and we have many friends, including University of Minnesota coaches, who have written to me. And I want them all to know, I'm saying this publicly, I want them all to know that I thank them for writing, because I learned a lot from every single letter that I read. So I'll state here that for the record that I hope that the University of Minnesota will independently establish and share with the public a review of the current status and future of athletics at the University of Minnesota. This issue is not exclusive to the U. This is a nationwide issue. Our pay-to-play program, et cetera, is going to change the look of athletics, as we've read in a letter that I think we all received this morning. So it needs to be really looked into. It's not only this particular issue that we need to look into, but just student athletes in general and how that's going to look in the university system. The overwhelming interest in the issue is a call for transparency. I think some of us feel like we didn't get a word in or didn't get enough discussions from the university about what was happening. We need to remember that the regents did not unanimously make these decisions. It was a 7-5 vote. So there's a little bit of discrepancy within the regents themselves. So that's a reflection of the varying opinions out there related to the U of M sports. I'm certain that these questions are not going to go away anywhere in Minnesota or anywhere across the country. I'm also certain that there will be questions for any regent candidates in the future. I certainly hope that this issue is reviewed. The university has the ability, and I believe the prudent responsibility, to review. That being said, I see no reason to create legislation for a commission. I also want to say, I think what we've talked about are negatives about the University of Minnesota. And I want to say that in the letters that I received, all the student athletes, all the Gophers that I talked to, all the Gopher coaches that I've talked to, they have deep, great pride in the grand institution that is the University of Minnesota. I'm very proud of what we have in this state in the university. Can there be changes? Can there be suggestions? Can I make publicly a statement about what I would like to see moving forward? Of course. And especially me as a legislator, that's my role. But I do want to say that I know my grandson, the University of Minnesota, is his first choice, and I will encourage him because it is a great institution. But we need to look a little bit deeper the public can look and the legislature can look closer at regent selections, things like that, which is much of what happens, you know, for elections for legislators. So, you know, I hope that clears up where I'm at. And I just wanted to say to everyone out there, it's in the hundreds now of the emails that I've received about this, that I'm with you and that I'm with the university also. And I do encourage the university to look into and review and make some public statements about decisions, not just this decision, but decisions in the future of the changing world of university sports. So thanks much for that.
Thank you. Are there any other comments by members or discussion that members would like to have about the bill? I don't see any. Chair Tomasoni and Senator Rarick, did you have anything else that you would like to discuss today at the meeting? We've gotten through our agenda fairly quickly. So do you have any questions? I might have a question or two.
Thank you, Chair Bernardi. I guess at this point, not anything really further. I want to encourage the rest of the members of the conference committee, you know, to stay in touch with us. So I think today and tomorrow we're going to really have some good communication, discussion and negotiations going back and forth. So this was good to get a feel for what everyone's priorities were. I want you to keep reaching out to continue to have the discussions. And also, so I do not forget, I want you to, all the members to know, Mark is going to be with me and at the Capitol all day, and he would love to get a chance to meet with as many of you as possible. So if that works into your schedule, he will be over at the Senate floor with me, and then he's going to be at the Capitol with me at the Jobs and Labor Conference Committee. And so if there is an opportunity for you to stop and say hi, he would absolutely love that, and it would be a great experience for him. So and again, just anybody reach out to me as well as we go these next couple days as we try to get our compromises and get this bill together.
Thank you. I see Representative O'Neill has her hand up, and then we'll move to Senator Klaus, and then Representative Keeler. Go ahead, Representative O'Neill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just really quickly, I thought maybe Senator Rarick would offer this a bit of information, but I believe he did some research about the constitutionality of the provision that he added on the Senate floor regarding the University of Minnesota and tying basically any additional funding to requiring them to do the commission. Or maybe I should say it like this, if they do the commission, then the funding follows. And I wonder if he could just speak to that, because there was a court ruling on that about where the constitutionality line is. And we as a legislature absolutely have the purse string ability, so we can fund or not fund, and we can do specials. You know, there's a lot of specials. So that's individual revenue, special revenue that goes to the University of Minnesota for specific things. That is a well-established practice that we do. If my brother, Representative Daniels, was on, he could tell you exactly how many specials that we have that we fund at the University of Minnesota, but it's quite a few. I don't know the number off the top of my head, but it would be along those lines. And I'm wondering if Senator Ware could give a little bit more information about the research he's done regarding the constitutionality of the requirement that they would do the commission in order to get additional funding.
Senator Rarick.
Thank you, Chair Bernardi, Representative O'Neill. We did do some research into this. That was, you know, my very first question, is this even something we can do? And it's not something that's done often, but it has been done before. It was challenged in court in the mid-90s. The court ruling came back that it's not only acceptable, it is actually, you know, the purse strings are what the legislature has with the university. So I can get more details on it. I don't have any of that information in front of me, but in the mid-90s, the courts did uphold, and not only is it constitutional, but it's they deemed it an acceptable practice, and it is one that I don't want the legislature to have to use often, but in this case, I think it is has the potential to finally send that message to wake up the Board of Regents. So, and maybe we can find a little better source of money than to tie it to than public safety, but that's what we had.
Thank you for that, Senator Rarick. Did you say you would share that research with us?
I can get that and share it with the committee, yes.
Oh, thank you. Representative Neal, do you have a follow-up?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to say that we as the legislature absolutely do have the ability to fund or not fund, and that's our lever over the university. And I'm sure that Senator Rarick will share that information in the court ruling. You know, I obviously am incredibly moved by what courts do and what they don't do. If you look at what I've done legislatively in the past regarding the some components of our criminal sexual conduct statutes, Representative Mueller and I, we acted quickly when there was a Minnesota Supreme Court ruling about one of those provisions about mentally incapacitated. And what the courts say is very impactful. And we can respond to that as well. But when they said that we, the legislature, have the purse strings that we can fund or not fund, and we can take a look at that court case in the mid-80s. But I think that's incredibly important to remember that that is our authority to do or not do. The other thing I would say, too, is I know there were some statements made by regents at the recent meeting. They were not very flattering or kind to the legislature. And I would just state on the record that we, the legislature, do in fact have the authority to fund or not fund you. And whether you like it or not, that's our authority. So there's that. The other thing I would say too is the University of Minnesota does not, the regents do not hold open forums where they have public input. You know, we do at every single one of our meetings. We find that the public is one of the most important factors in what we do or don't do. We always give time for public testimony, and they do not. They do not have an open forum. And I know there is one particular regent who I have become very fond of. He's very young, and he is really speaking on behalf of students, staff, and faculty, and that is Regent Farnsworth is trying to change that. And so if there's, you know, just publicly, I support that. I think there should be an open forum. I think that there should be more conversation, not less, that the regents do need to hear from those that they are affecting, whether it's the faculty, the staff, the athletes, the students. They need to allow more time. So I really hope that Regent Farnsworth prevails, because just as the legislature takes public testimony and weighs that heavily in our decisions, I think they should as well. They are literally the governing board for the University of Minnesota, as we all know. So thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to add a couple of those comments.
Thank you. And Senator Clausen and Representative Keeler, is yours to this subject or something different? Because I have something to follow up on this.
My subject is different, Madam Chair.
Okay. So I just have a question for our nonpartisan staff. And I mean, our partisan staff could weigh in too if they know about this. But I was thinking, Mr. Hopkins or Ms. White, if you have any knowledge about this matter and about what we can and can't do, I would love your input. Mr. Hopkins.
Madam Chair and committee members, I can circulate a document that we have from House Research on university's constitutional autonomy and the ability of the legislature to condition appropriations to the university. I'd be happy to send that out to the committee.
Are you, thank you, Mr. Hopkins, are you able to summarize it for us based on this conversation?
Sure. So the first of all, I think an important thing to say is that the issue of the university's constitutional autonomy hasn't been litigated a lot in Minnesota. So there's not a great deal of detail about what the legislature can and can't do when it comes to conditioning appropriations. The major decision on this subject is Board of Regents v. Lord, which is a case from the 1970s. And that did say that the university can condition, that the legislature can condition university appropriations. But those conditions must make only limited intrusions into the region's overall management of the university. The issue in Lord was about conditioning a state appropriation on the university's compliance with what's called the Designer Selection Board Act, which regulates how state institutions have to select designers for certain buildings. So this was an attempt by the legislature to control the region's ability to select their own designers for certain buildings. It's a 1977 case. So it's, of course, with any case, the holding in there is limited to those specific facts, and the set of facts here is different from that. So it's hard to say exactly what a court would do in this case. You're kind of reading the tea leaves, but it's always helpful if the appropriation is linked to, if the condition on the appropriation is linked to the purpose for the money itself. So if the legislature says, here's this pot of money, but you have to do X, it's helpful. Those two things should have some sort of intrinsic connection to each other. To say, here's this pot of money, but you have to do something that's totally unrelated to what the funds are for, that is a more difficult ask. I think that could be seen as a greater intrusion into the region's management of the university. But again, there's only one real case on this subject, and I'd be happy to circulate that case to committee members as well as some research briefs that we have on this issue.
Thank you. And I see that Representative Cleburne has put her hand up. Is it regarding this discussion, or do you want me to add you to the list?
Well, actually, I have two separate things. But to this specific point, I want to remind the committee and whoever may be listening to this, whenever we do something like this, when the discussion that we're having, tying university basic academic funding to athletics, because the athletic budget is very separate from the academic budget, from the capital investment budget, as Mr. Hopkins is explaining right now, that actually harms our students. I mean, ultimately, our state benefits from a strong public university, our state benefits from the innovation and the science and the research that goes on at our university. So it is to say, in this argument, what I'm hearing, because student athletes have been harmed, we are now going to bring harm to our entire state and our institution. There is a space for this conversation. I'm not saying that this conversation is not important. It is important. Anything that impacts our state is an appropriate conversation for our committee, but let's not do additional harm to the institution and harm to our students because we may be upset about a decision that they've made. Thank you. And then I do have a question for a different comment after this topic.
Okay, thank you. I don't see any other discussion or any other people that want to weigh in on that. So Senator Claussen, you are up next, and then Representative Keeler.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm just wondering when we might have a budget target.
Any day now, Senator Claussen.
How about any hour?
I do not know. We do have... I'm hoping that that's the case. I would love for us to be able to come together around a package or a number that maybe perhaps we can present to our leadership and say, hey, this is the target that we want, and we've made something work. So I don't know how that's going to play out. You would think it would be any hour now. You're correct, but I do not know. How's that for an answer?
Senator Rarick, do you have any comments about this?
Senator Rarick?
Unfortunately, I don't have anything other than what Chair Bernardi said. We've had a couple conversations. I know I went to my leadership. I'm guessing she went to hers. But I have not heard anything back yet. I'm going to be poking them again probably shortly after this.
Okay.
Thank you, Madam yes. Chair and Senator Rear.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Senator. Representative Keeler.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm not sure how to do this in committee, but I would like to engage in a conversation with Senator Jasinski. So do I yield to him? Would you be willing to yield? I don't know.
Sure.
Right. Well, okay. There we go.
Thank you. So again, something was sparked when you were talking. It was military. I come from a long line of military. So thank you for your service. And again, thank you to anybody who's listening for their service. More of a question. I looked through the bill and I just want to make sure I'm not missing anything. You said it was one of your, when we were talking about our priorities, I'm not missing anything in the bill that's military focused, right? On your side, on the Senate side? I just want to make sure.
No, I just brought up as a side topic, listening to the, college, free college and things like that. The comments I just brought it up is, you know, I went through it again. I was struggling in college for several reasons. One of them being financial. And went into the military and did 4 years and got out, finished my college, and everything was paid for because I worked for it and walked away with no college debt. So I was just bringing up the point while we had people here that there is that option. If you want to go to college, you're struggling either for several different, for mental health reasons, for food insecurities, no matter what it is, you join the military, you can get your college paid for. And it's a great opportunity. So I was just bringing up his comment in reply to a couple of the comments about the free college and the comments on that.
Okay, thank you. Representative Keeler.
Thanks. I just wanted to make sure that I wasn't missing anything because I agree with you. My brother went to college for a year because he had to wait till he turned 18 and then retired like with a full military benefit, went on to have a completely second career. And so I understand. I know from a K-12 setting, the military has been kind of removed from going into schools and doing recruitment. Do you know, is there restrictions within our higher education institutions for the military to come in to talk about opportunities? I guess, you know, back when I was in high school, like they were in the mall and we would go talk to recruiters, but are you aware of any restrictions or great access that our higher education institutions provide if military is an option for our students?
I think there are restrictions. I think there are. I don't think that the military are allowed to go into high schools to recruit, to be honest. I don't know for sure, but I think it is. It's not allowed.
Right.
Somebody online may know better.
I know it's not allowed.
I see Representative Keeler. I see Representative Rarick is raising his physical hand, so I think he's eager to comment on this. Is that right with you to go to Senator Rarick?
Just clarifying. Yeah. Okay. My question is more in the higher ed institutions. Yeah. Not the K-12. Just
okay, Senator Rarick.
Yeah. So this is something that the representative. I'm blanking on his name, veteran from Forest Lake area. we worked on this quite a bit. It's not that it's not allowed, legally. Unfortunately, a number of our high schools have not been allowing like groups from the trades or military recruiters into their job fairs. We actually had a bill a couple years ago that would say they have to allow them in. Again, it was one of those where it kind of came into, well, we don't want to tell them what they have to do. And so with May language, we didn't pass it. But it was a discussion that we started to have that, you know, our high school students have to know about all of their opportunities, not just four-year colleges. They need to know about the trades. They need to know about the military. They need to know about apprenticeship programs, all of it, so that they can make the best decision what path they want to take to get the training they need for the career that they want. So it's kind of sad to hear that there are some high schools out there that refuse to let a military recruiter come talk to their students.
Mm-hmm. Representative Keeler, do you have a follow-up?
Yep, thank you, Madam Chair, and for this discussion. Sorry to bring it up now, you sparked me in a new area of thinking. Again, kind of back to the original question, I understand the restrictions in K-12. I'm thinking of like, if I'm a freshman, at a university setting, and I know that school is not working out for me, are those same barriers that are in K-12, are there barriers in our higher education institutes? And I don't know, I mean, I'm sure people are listening to this, and that's not a question I've asked in any other space, and now I'm like opening a door of a whole new area. But I would like to have more conversations about that, because I do agree. I think we need to be able to provide all the options for all of our students, and higher education may be down the road for some people after their time in service. So we don't need to go on about that anymore. I just wanted to have that conversation because it was brought up here. This is what happens
when
you bring the House and the Senate together. Thank you.
Senator Jasinski is waving his hand as well, so I'm assuming it's to this point. Go ahead, Senator Jasinski.
Thank you, Chairman. Just to follow up on that, so when I was at the University of Minnesota Duluth in 1986, they did have a Navy recruiter on campus. They had an office on campus, and that's actually something that drew me into it. So they did that. I don't know currently if they do that or not. And again, I apologize for bringing this whole discussion. Just as you said, certain points started hitting upon what I was doing. I was looking at my Navy pictures across the room, for instance, like, you know, I had the same issues. I chose the military as the best thing that I ever did. My siblings, I have five brothers and sisters. They were completely jealous that I chose that option and what I did. So I just wanted to bring it up with some of the discussions on the food insecurities and free college and all those things. So apologize for bringing it on the side, but that's just, it kind of came up. So thank you.
Okay. Now, Senator Claussen, you're not related to this one, right? Senator Claussen?
Oh, Madam Chair,
Okay, well, just a second. I'm going to go to Representative Cleburne, okay. And then we'll go to you. Representative Cleburne.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. I just I want to highlight two issues. In my introduction, I just kept it very 30,000 feet level. So the two pieces that I didn't really hear much discussion today about were the student parenting supports and whether we are, Representative Kilo, to your comment about military individuals, whether it's military moms coming back to college who may have students or who may have young children, I think those parenting supports would be very important for helping our parents finish their degree or to start a degree that would change their lives and the lives of their children. So I think those parenting supports are very important that we really haven't discussed yet today. And I did briefly mention, as did a few of my other teammates, mention inclusive higher ed. I would just like to remind the committee that we have 5,000 potential students who could use these inclusive higher education supports, and we only have space currently for 100 students in our systems. So I think that's a piece that I just wanted to bring back to the conversation. Thank you, Chair Bernardi and Chair Rarick, for your work on our committee.
Okay, thank you. And Senator Claussen.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to go back, make a few comments about the funding issue with the University of Minnesota. I view this really as a governance issue. You know, the legislature elects the regents. We expect them to govern the University of Minnesota. And I think withholding funding is really short-sighted. The university and the university students are critical to Minnesota's future. The university is an economic engine that drives Minnesota's future. I think we have to remember that. It's also been pointed out the athletic budget is self-supporting. It's run as a business. You have to balance, you know, revenue and expenses. And I think in large part that decision was made due to budgetary concerns. The other point is, I think that this is kind of a slippery slope in a way. What if a group opposes a book that happens to be in the University of Minnesota Library? Or what if there's a research grant which a group disagrees with? Are we then going to intervene as a legislature to try to change decisions? And I think also the university has been silent largely on this issue. And I think in part, there perhaps was a legal challenge on this, and perhaps that's why we're not hearing from the university's viewpoint. So I just wanted to make those points. Thank you.
I don't see any further hands raised. Is there any other further discussion that somebody would like to bring up before we wrap up our committee hearing today? Seeing none, I really appreciate the conversation that we had today and appreciate everyone's effort in putting together this bill to help Minnesota students and help them thrive and be successful. So with that, we will adjourn and just stay tuned to our communications to see what our next steps are. We do not have anything planned at this moment, but hopefully things will move very, very quickly here. Chair Rarick, did you have anything that you would like to say before we wrap up on behalf of you or as Chair Tomasoni as well?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Again, reach out to us members, keep an eye out. I don't know that we're not scheduling a meeting at this point without a target. We don't see a big point, but we will move as quickly as we can. I guess the other thing too, I know you have your convention this weekend, so please let me know. I mean, if there are some things that are happening, we will definitely work around your schedules. If you're planning on being at your convention, we'll make things work however we need to.
I appreciate that courtesy, Senator Rarick. This will be my top priority, and the convention will not be my priority. So thank you for that courtesy, though. I appreciate that. And I'm guessing my members feel the same way. I saw some thumbs up and and some nods. Okay, but thank you very much. Okay, well, with that, I appreciate everyone being here today, and our meeting is adjourned. Thank you.